I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. To get a 50-mile training run in, you might need to block out a full day. Well, probably more. If you're training at this time of year, you're going to want to set out your full course route, obviously, beforehand. And you may want to plan for some food and water stashes, unless you plan to carry all of your supplies with you. Depending on whether you're doing a loop or an out and back, you could need to have a car parked at the end of your run, or someone on the hook to pick you up. You'll need to check the weather for appropriate clothing and note that it could be a very different temperature at the beginning of your run than at the end. Oh, and you probably should have spent months working up to this, since you're going to be running 50 miles and all. And don't forget, this is just a training run. Yes, some people do 50 miles as a training run to get ready for a 100-miler or more. And today we're going to talk to some of these intense runners to discover the appeal, the training regimen, and the challenges of being an ultra runner. Laura Farrell is the founder of the Vermont 100 and the Vermont 50, two of the state's most well-known ultra races. She's been an ultra runner since the 80s, but even before that, she was racing horses in 100-mile endurance races. Laura, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we're also joined by Mike Silverman, an organizer for the Vermont 50. It's officially called the Vermont 50 Mountain Bike or Ultra Run, and it's every September, and it brings more than 1,300 ultra runners and mountain bikers to a 50-mile course near Mount Ascutney in Brownsville. Mike, nice to have you with us today.
I also am glad to be here. Thank you.
Since you're an organizer, we're going to ask you the official organizer question of defining what an ultra marathon or an ultra run actually is.
Well, anything over a marathon, so anything over 26.2 miles is an ultra run. So we have a 50-mile, 50K runs in my race.
All right, so we have a marathon, 26.2 miles, and an ultra marathon or an ultra run is just anything more than that?
Correct.
And how long are some of the longest ones? I mean, have you heard of people doing races that are still considered, you know, a race, a single race, but that are more than 100?
Definitely. I think more so in today's world of ultra running, they're testing themselves 180 miles, 250 miles, a lot longer than the 100 or the 50.
Yeah, and some of them are up mountains and down mountains on all kinds of really difficult trails. Some of them are nonstop, while some you stop. I mean, it's kind of an amazing and varied type of running. And Laura, you do this. You founded the Vermont 100 and the Vermont 50. What's the appeal?
Oh, the challenge, and knowing yourself well enough to be able to attempt that challenge, the adventure, and just seeing what you can do.
A lot of people would say, I know myself well enough to know that is not a challenge that my body or my mind could undertake. So, when you say knowing yourself, there's knowing yourself and pushing yourself, and those need to be in tandem, but they don't always go hand in hand at exactly the same time.
That is true. But I think for any ultra event, it's really important to first have the passion within yourself to want to do this, the love for the sport, and then knowing how to take care of yourself, knowing what your body needs, what your mind needs, knowing what your body feels, and just really knowing how to take care of yourself. And that comes in learning about yourself in the training.
You know, I'm laughing because I think when I said that some people would know themselves well enough to say, forget it, I'm never attempting that, I think I heard you, Laura, saying they're smart.
Sorry. I should take that back.
I mean, what does that say about yourself? Are you saying you're just, insane for attempting this and for doing it so many times?
No. No, but others might think I am or have been. I actually I do not run ultras anymore. I started running them in 1980. I'm an old lady now, so I might be a little bit wiser. I don't know. But I certainly would never take back any of those years or miles that I ran. It was a huge, wonderful part of my life.
And, Mike, I understand you're a runner, but you're not an ultra runner yourself?
Correct.
Why not? Are you among the people
I'm
who
smarter
say,
than yeah, that? No, exactly. I don't know if I have the focus to do all that because I think a lot of the training isn't just physical; it's mental, and you really test your mental capacity to get yourself through that type of terrain, that length of time being by yourself, and. Maybe I just have attention deficit problem. I don't know.
So then for you, Mike, what is the appeal of organizing and coordinating a big race like the Vermont 50? You know, it's not your individual personal passion for running that distance, but there must be something about it that you love, at least watching other people do.
Well, I think it started when I had to start volunteering, and we were short volunteers to do a certain task. And I realized that I got as much satisfaction out of volunteering and seeing the people being supported by something that I was doing that really drew me to start volunteering and getting on the board of the race committee, then all of a sudden being asked to be the director. I approach it a little differently. I really enjoy seeing people come over that finish line smiling and thanking me. And I think that really gives me a lot of pleasure.
Laura, the longest I've ever run is a marathon. I did the Boston Marathon as a bandit when I was in college. And now I think, oh, I'd love to try that again. I'd love to test my limits. But boy, I don't have the time. I mean, I can barely get, you know, a 3 or 4 mile trail run in on the weekend. So can you describe what your training regimen was like when you were doing a lot of ultra running and then how people squeeze it in when it's something that they're actually really motivated to do?
Well, first of all, I think that's huge that you ran a marathon. And I've always say that, you know, people say, oh, I just ran a 10K. And that's huge. It's all relative. That's big for you. And that's what's important. And so I feel that no matter what distance, as long as it's something you've worked towards and that you have passion about, that is terrific. It does take to train for a 50 or a 100. It takes a tremendous amount of time and commitment, not only from you, from the individual runner, but also from their family, their friends. It's a commitment by them also because they support you and they give you the time to do it, to train. So I started running ultras, hundreds in 1980. And prior to that, I did race horses, 100-mile endurance rides through the mountains and trails. So I had a background of knowing how to train a horse to do it. Back then, back in the 80s, early 80s, there wasn't a lot of knowledge as to how to train. There wasn't a lot of knowledge on replacements. There weren't a lot of supplements and replacements, such as goo, et cetera.
Yeah, when you're talking about replacements, you mean to, like, replace your and replenish your electrolytes and
correct.
Make sure
yes.
that you can keep going.
Right. There weren't those things back then. But I had the background of training a horse to do it.
So you just carried a salt lick with you?
Yeah.
She knows something about
that. You know, but they did actually back then had very little electrolyte replacements for horses. But so the key was really knowing how to train because you didn't have those supplements and replacements for electrolytes, et cetera. So the key was really in the training and knowing your animal or knowing yourself and really knowing how to build. So I spent a lot of time, I spent a whole lot of time running. And I would do back-to-backs, which are like I would do 30 miles and then the next day 50 miles in my training. I would do hill climbs where I'd run up a mountain pretty regularly and then come down and run up it again. So I think each individual has their own training schedule that works for them physically, mentally, and family time commitments. And I found what worked for me. And I was running probably at my peak 100 miles a week when I was peaking for an event.
Wow. We got a note from Aaron in Reading who emailed in about the Vermont 100. And the Vermont 100, which Laura Farrell, one of our guests, founded, is this combination. It's an equestrian event. It's also a running event. And Aaron says, I live along the race route, and I love how festive the area feels leading up to the ride. Mm-hmm. Having runners and riders on the trail together is what makes the Vermont 100 such a unique experience. For the past few years, I've been part of the crew for riders. This involves making sure the horse is eating and drinking well during the mandatory holds, helping present the horse to the vet for inspection, and making sure the rider is safe and fit to continue along with their four-legged partner. Aaron says, I sometimes feel bad for the runners. They seem so disoriented and in such pain when they're out there in the middle of the night alone. At least the riders have their horses as a team working together. Laura, you've done the riding and the running. Is it more painful when you're by yourself than when you have a four-legged companion?
For me personally, no, it wasn't. I have to say when I now compete again riding my horse in 100-mile endurance races, I find it personally almost harder to do the ride because I am responsible for this other living being and trying to know what that horse needs and how it's feeling. Whereas when I'm just running, I just have to know myself. And I'm responsible only for myself. And if I do push too much, then I'm only hurting myself. I'm not hurting an animal or another living being. Mm. So, and I don't mind being out by myself, but this is me personally. So they do in the 100-mile endurance runs, you can have pacers for the last, depending on the race, 30 miles approximately. And that's, you know, so you have somebody in the night running with you, and that's huge for a lot of people. As I said, personally, I didn't mind being out there by myself. it let me kind of really know what I was going through.
Mike, Erin, who wrote in, said one of the things that she loves best is how festive it feels leading up to the ride and presumably even during the ride if there are people watching and support people. Is that the same for the Vermont 50? Does it feel like a big sort of celebration or a festive atmosphere rather than a super serious, intense one?
I think that's what not that I brought it, but I think that's what the 50 has been about for a long time. I think the community really gets behind it. And leading up to it, you know, everybody sees the result of a lot of hours volunteers put in to prepare the trails, to prepare the site. And there's definitely an upbeat energy that is projected from all of that. So as an organizer, you try to include the community as much as possible. And I think that's where the long support comes from.
Does it feel festive among the runners and the cyclists, at least for the Vermont 50?
It has. It definitely does. The combination of horses and riders on the trail is an easier combination. I mean, to share those trails, the biker and the runner has been more difficult over the years. But I think the communication has gotten better and better, and they keep coming back. When I first became director, there were about 100, 125 runners, and now we're at 550 runners and 750 bikers.
Why do you think it's easier to have horses and runners on the trail than cyclists, bikers, and runners on
the
trail?
Well, think of those wheels and how easily they turn going downhill. Mm-hmm. And if you're a runner on a single track, a very narrow path, you as a runner tend to have to step off to the side and then back onto the trail, so it breaks your rhythm. Mm-hmm. So to be safe, it's very important that the biker and the runner are communicating constantly.
Jake writes in to say, for the more casual runner who wants a taste of ultra running, the Vermont 100 on 100 race from Trapp Family Lodge to Okemo is awesome. You run in teams of 2, 3, or 6 for 100 miles in the middle of August. We've done it a couple of times on a team of 6. When you aren't running, you're in the van, cheering on your runner and the runners of all the other teams. It's fun, rewarding, and a one-of-a-kind experience. And Kelly in Oars Island, Maine, says, for those looking for mountain marathon events in the Northeast Kingdom, the Westmore Mountain Challenge is a one-day, five-mountain, 26-mile event. Also, Northwood Stewardship Center in the Green Mountain Club and Vermont Forests, Parks, and Recreation recently announced the opening of the Kingdom Heritage Trail, a continuous 20-mile trail system traversing Bluff Mountain, Middle Mountain, and Gore Mountain. safe to say, if you want to do some ultra running, Vermont is a great place to do it, from dirt roads to trails to really scenic paved roads. And, you know, many people just start out from their own house. Let's get another taste here, though, from somebody who's doing this at maybe kind of a different scale or a different way of thinking about it. Eli Burakian is an ultra runner with several hundred mile races under his belt, and he's writing a thesis for his master's degree at Dartmouth College on the group of ultra athletes who compete for the fastest known times, speed records on notable running and hiking routes. And last month, he actually attempted to set a new FKT record for Vermont's Long Trail. Eli, it's nice to have you on the program.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm not going to leave people in suspense. How did it go on the Long Trail?
This time, like the last two times, it didn't go very well, didn't go as planned, but there's always something to be learned each time I try, and I'll keep on trying.
Yeah, you still have the dream of actually setting the fastest known time for running the Long Trail, right?
Yeah, although what I'm going for is what's called the unsupported FKT, meaning carrying everything you need from start to finish. And when you're going for an unsupported record, typically you're not running, you're just
going fast.
As fast as you can, because you have a full pack on.
And why? Why do you want to do that? Why is this such a goal that you're going to keep trying?
Well, my cute answer is always that since I have a family now, I try to turn my week-long hikes into day runs and my month-long hikes into week hikes. But truthfully, it's, you know, we come to this sport from different angles, and I come from a backpacking background. And so I'm much more comfortable in the more mountainous, longer distance stuff. And the longer it is, the slower you can go. And so since I'm not a fast runner, but I'm a very fast hiker, it's these type of challenges that really interest me.
And interest you not only in terms of your own endurance and pushing your body and your mind, but also in finding out what motivates other people. Why is this something that is worth your time for a master's thesis? What are you learning?
Well, it's really interesting. You know, as this sport of ultra running has been growing, so has the sport of what are called FKTs, fastest known times, which was developed. That term came about in early 2000s when two runners out west were looking for the fastest known time that they could find on the John Muir Trail. And since there wasn't any sort of major gathering place for that information, they came up with an idea, created a board, and it's kind of taken off. In the last year, they launched a website called fastestknowntime.com where people can put up their own routes or other popular routes and compete against each other or themselves. And it's sort of a more creative, almost artistic way of looking at ultra running. It's coming up with a route and thinking about a challenging way to approach it. And as the sport has grown, so has the interest in sort of the fringe elements of this, and what used to be an occasional record, now there are new fastest known times being set every day. And they can range anything from a short 5-mile run, where people are beating records by literally seconds, to the entire length of the Appalachian Trail, which every year over the past 5 years has seen a new record being set.
And what's the record for that, for the Appalachian Trail?
Well, the record for that is now 41 days by this Belgian dentist named Carl Saba, who I actually had the chance to run with over Mount Musilac when he was setting the record last year. He broke the record by almost 3 days, averaging almost 52 miles a day for the entire length of the trail.
Wow. So, Mike Silverman, when you're organizing the Vermont 50, how do you account for people who might be at one end of the spectrum trying to set a record or really trying to push the limits, and other people who are certainly trying to push their own limits but not doing it for the speed of being the fastest, you know, just for doing it for being able to, first of all, accomplish it at all? And, you know, maybe have very, very different skill sets and speed levels within this one race. How do you account for all of those competitors?
Well, I think the person who's going to finish fastest is a person I'm less concerned about. They know their training. They know their body. I'm more concerned about introducing that person who's going to be slower to get to their accomplishment. For instance, ultra running, a 50-mile is actually very intimidating for somebody coming from a 10K, a half marathon. So we introduced the 50K to get them involved with the ultra community. We also introduced a a relay, a two or three person relay into our 50 mile to really develop them into wanting to do more. And it's been very – I think that's how we accomplished the 550 people running the Vermont 50.
Do you ever see people who show up who are completely unprepared, and can you tell? I mean, there's a difference between not knowing if you're going to finish but having trained for it and seeing this as an ultimate challenge and just being a little bit of, you know, sort of a yahoo and going out there and saying, yeah, you know, I can try this. You can tell, Mike, when those people show up?
Well, I can't mention names, but I have seen a very successful runner come to the start line very unprepared. I shouldn't have said that, but that person came thinking that they were running a marathon, and they were not prepared for the hydration, the constant replenishment, and so that person did fail. And I got cursed in how badly I ran a race. I organized a race. And I just shook my head and said, okay, whatever you think. It really takes some inquiring about how to train. No matter how successful you are with a marathon or half marathon, you need to ask questions. And I think people are under the assumption that you're running an ultra marathon or ultra run, that you're running all the time. You're not running all the time. You're running and walking, and you have to really be smart about the especially the hills.
Yeah. Laura, can you talk about that and maybe the difference between training for a marathon versus a 50-miler or a 100-miler? I mean, is it just about putting in the training miles, or is it a totally different mindset and a different way of training between, you know, 30 miles and 100 miles?
It's totally different. First of all, I want to just say that when people come to me and they say, oh, they've told me they're training and they're ready and they feel like they're ready, but they're really, really, really nervous. And I think one of the things that helps and prepares people for it is I say, listen, you get to go out and spend a whole day or night and night doing something that you love to do. And just appreciate that. Not very many people get that opportunity and support from their family and friends to be able to take the time to go out all day, all night and do something that you love to do. And that kind of takes the edge off of it and puts it in a different light. But as far as for training, when for a 100-miler, I always felt that I could race the first 50 miles. Now, this is me personally and where I was as far as my fitness, etc. I could race the first 50 miles, but then I needed the mental and the ability to take care of myself for the second 50 miles. And I'm not sure how other people feel, but that is what worked for me. And it's very different. You know, you kind of use marathons and you use 50-milers to train for a 100-miler. You know, when I was going to run my first 100-mile, I rode my horse down in Virginia in the Blue Ridge Mountains in a 100-miler called Old Dominion. And they at that time had runners in that event. They don't anymore. And actually Vermont 100 is the only one that has in the world that has horses and runners on the same course, same day, et cetera. So anyways, there were runners at Old Dominion then, and I looked at those runners and I said, oh, when I come back here, I'm going to run this. And 2 years later, I went back and ran it. Now, this is not allowed, but I have to say that you have to compete in a 100-miler, you need to qualify with doing a 50-mile race under 12 hours. And that was even back in 1980, that was the rule and regulation. But I had never, ever run a 5K, 10K, marathon, 50-miler, or anything. And I called the event organizer and I said, listen, I've never run any running event ever, but I'd like to do the 100-mile. What can I do to get in? And they said, I said, but I have raced my horse on that course and gave them my time and blah, blah, blah. And they said, oh, if you know how to get a horse through that event, then you will know how to train yourself. And they said, but on your own, go out and run 50 miles tomorrow or whatever within the next couple of weeks and call us back and tell us how fast you ran it and how you felt. I said, okay. So I did. I did. And you got to understand that was in 1980 or 81. I can't even remember. And there was probably only about, I don't know, 10 women that ran 100 milers at that time total. And there were only like 400 milers in the country at that time. Don't quote me on any of this. And I called them back and they said, okay, you can come. I ran my 50 miles by myself in 8 hours in Vermont Hills. And they said, okay, you can come. So I really used what I had done with my horse to train for a 100-mile run. And now I can – and I went back and, you know, I did great and I was the first woman, blah, blah, blah. So – and I actually at that time was the first woman that had ever run and ridden that race. But it's interesting since then and even more recently, I talk with a lot of riders and there's so much similarity between training and caring for your horse and or as a runner. And just as I said before, the training schedule is according to your lifestyle, your family commitments, your work commitment, and what your goal is. You know, if you want to go be a fast runner, you do speed works, you do hill climbs, you do et cetera. If you want to be the person that is out there the longest and enjoys the scenery the longest, then your training can be different. But it's what your goal is and what your commitments allow you to do.
Eli Burakian, I'm wondering, you know, Laura's been talking about some of the training and some of the different things that go into preparing and making yourself both physically and mentally ready. But I want to know from you because you're doing these runs that are very long, but very short, depending on how you look at it. What is the coolest thing that you see on the trail, maybe at an off hour when the rest of us aren't hiking, that, you know, makes it in some ways even feel worth it when your knees and your joints and everything hurts?
Well, that's a good question. You know, everybody always wonders, why rush through it? And you got to remember that even when we're speed hiking the long trail for 18 hours a day, we're still only moving 3 miles an hour instead of 2 miles an hour. And what people fail to forget, too, is that we're seeing every sunrise, every sunset. We're hearing all the birds in the morning. We're breaking all the spider webs for you across the trail. You're welcome. and, you know, we occasionally even see more animals. You know, I run across a lot of porcupines in the early mornings and late nights. So you just get to see a lot more because you're the first one on the trail and you're the last one off the trail. And if you don't mind hiking at night, you get the trail to yourself for hours and hours on end.
Well, that definitely sounds appealing. Eli Burakian is an ultra runner with more several 100-mile races under his belt, and he is writing a thesis for his master's degree at Dartmouth on the group of ultra athletes who compete for the fastest known times, the FKT records. Eli, good luck on your next attempt on the long trail. I hope it goes really well.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
And
good
Laura,
luck,
yeah,
luck.
Laura,
good
and
luck.
Mike are also wishing you luck. Laura Farrell is the founder of the Vermont 100 and the Vermont 50, and the founder of Vermont Adaptive Ski and Sports. Mike Silverman is an organizer for the Vermont 50. Thank you both for being on the show and sharing your passion with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for supporting ultra running.
Well, I wish everybody who's out there running and training this summer the best as well. I would love to join you, maybe someday.